Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Red ones, green ones, sweet ones, spicy ones, little ones, big ones. Tamales come in all shapes and sizes, and there's centuries of history inside those warm corn husks. The origins of the tamal began 7,000 years ago in Mesoamerica. The corn masa essential to a tamal has a deeper meaning. The Maya wrote in their sacred book, the Popol Vuh, that humans were created from corn. San Antonio is a crossroads of Tex-Mex, Mexican, and indigenous South Texas cooking. The tamal has been part of the city's culture from the very beginning. San Antonio has found a way to honor the tradition of tamales by creating a Tamal Institute. And side note, tamal is the singular form of the plural, tamales. The Tamal Institute was created by San Antonio's Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center to explore the origins, history, and cultural significance of tamales and tamaladas in the region. It grew out of San Antonio's designation as a UNESCO City of Gastronomy. Today, we're talking tamales and the Tamal Institute with Colleen Swain, director of the World Heritage Office in San Antonio, and Cristina Bailly, director of the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. Bailly says tamales have played an important part in shaping the culture and tradition of San Antonio.
In the case of tamales, what I find fascinating is that it is a centuries-old tradition. You know, tamales have been made by indigenous peoples for centuries. And the origins, you know, are pre-Columbian. The origins, you know, have been very rooted and established in the earth. They can go back thousands and thousands of years to find evidence of the first tamales. And here we are in San Antonio, centuries later, still living that tradition, still holding on to that food that is a staple for a lot of people. It's definitely a staple for Mexican Americans around holiday times, around holiday seasons. It's a food that's eaten year round, but particularly during the holiday seasons. And we know it's during Christmas, but even it starts with Dia de los Muertos. There are many traditions that make tamales and leave them, you know, as offerings for their departed ones. And then we have the holidays, and that continues with El Día de los Reyes, which is the Day of the Three Wise Men, and then ending with El Día de la Candelaria on February 2nd, which is another popular day to eat tamales.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about those particular events and the importance of them. But I want to talk a little bit about the Tamal Institute, Colleen. It falls under the World Heritage Office. And can you explain how the Tamal Institute came into being?
Well, really, the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, they started this celebration of tamales. Cristina had come to us because we were a UNESCO Creative City of Gastronomy, and she had this brilliant idea to do this Tamal Institute. This year, we've been doing it virtually, and we started out with an event in October, and then we had a second one on November 2nd and talked about Dia de los Muertos. And we'll be hosting another one December 5th. Partnering with Chef Cariño Cortez, La Familia Cortez, the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. Dr. Ellen Riojas Clark will be back. Carmen Tafoya has been a part of this. And so she'll be doing demos that will be videotaped. And people can buy a kit so that they can participate at home. You know, if Dr. Ellen Riojas Clark is involved, it's going to be very educational, and it's going to be an event that will also be fun to watch. So they'll talk about the masa. They'll talk about the fillings. And of course, assembly and cooking. And everybody has their own way of doing each of these steps. And so by presenting a variety of people making tamales, we are showcasing that there's all kinds of different ways to do this. And so this is really part of our charge as a UNESCO Creative City to preserve our culinary traditions. We want to preserve those roots, but yet also explore the innovations that are occurring. So this is an opportunity to teach people about this tradition, receive feedback on what are their particular, every family has a different tradition, and to preserve that for our community.
Well, I'm curious, Cristina, why the creation of the Tamal Institute? I think being here in San Antonio, it could have easily been the Breakfast Taco Institute or the Enchilada Institute or the Chili Queen Institute. So why the Tamal Institute?
Yeah, thank you. That's a good question. Actually, I was inspired by a festival that I attended in Marfa called the Agave Festival. And that festival was modeled after another very famous and long-running agave festival in Tucson, Arizona. And what they did is they presented the different components of the life and culture of the agave. So they talked about the agave in terms of geography, in terms of environment, in terms of politics, what that meant for the economy of Mexico, the workers that know how to work with agave. And of course, they talked a lot about tequila and agave spirits, tequila, mezcal, everything associated with that. So the discussion was robust and wide, and there was just so much to cover. They had everything from anthropologists to journalists, to artists, and of course, lots of distillers of agave spirits. So there was lots of opportunities to go deeper into this very Mexican tradition that is so complex and has so many components. And I just like the intellectual activity going on around it, the thought going on around it. And I thought, well, San Antonio has plenty of opportunities to go just as deep and wide on a particular subject. And frankly, I was tempted to try to start an agave festival here in San Antonio, but I said, no, I'm not going to try to start something new. What do we have that can lend itself to that type of deep exploration and analysis of culture? And we had been producing La Gran Tamalada for many years. That was an event that was started by Dr. Carmen Tafoya and Dr. Ellen Riojas Clark when they published their children's book on how to make tamales. And that what started out as kind of a book reading and demonstration at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center many years ago evolved into a big program, a big demonstration of how to make tamales. And eventually that the Familia Cortez, the restaurateurs, joined that program, and it was an incredibly popular program. We had way more people that we could fit into the Guadalupe Theater, which is very, very popular, up to about 500 people, and we can't fit more than 400 people in the theater. And where they would come and they would have an opportunity to learn how to spread the tamales and take a couple of them home and steam them. So the interest is just incredible. You know, that's what I have found here in San Antonio, that everybody wants to, if they don't know how to make tamales, lots of people want to learn how to make tamales. We've seen that because of the popularity of our programs. So with a Gran Tamalada just outgrowing the space, Cariño Cortez graciously offered to host La Gran Tamalada over at Market Square. So it grew into a bigger program. And now that it was in that bigger space, that's where we found the opportunity to go deeper and start the Tamal Institute in there, which we did the first year with a series of lectures on the history of tamales, the components of tamales, talking about the ingredients of tamales and corn and non-GMO corn, had some panel presentations with local tamaleros. So there's just so much in the tamal that can be explored. It would lend itself to a program like this very easily.
Cristina Bailly is director of San Antonio's Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. We're also talking today with Colleen Swain, director of the World Heritage Office in San Antonio. We're talking about the Tamal Institute, a community effort to explore the origins and history of tamales and tamaladas in San Antonio. When we come back, tamaladas aren't the same in a pandemic.
Well, making tamales is just such a key part of the holidays. I imagine, you know, people will still be continuing with that tradition, you know, in their homes, likely with precautions.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
Tamal, tamal, tamalito. You taste so, rico. All wrapped up like a little regalito. And you are exactly that, a gift from our ancient past. From Olmec to Toltec to Aztec to us. This tradition is now in your trust.
That's Jesus de la Torre. He was participating in a virtual Día de los Muertos Tamalada with his two sisters, Ada and Sabrina. Ada and Sabrina gave a tutorial on how to make tamales and explained that whoever starts the masa, the tamal dough, has to finish the masa.
So you can't put somebody else's hands in there because it's not the same thing. Everybody's hands are different.
And everyone's energy is different.
Once a test ball of masa floats in some water, that means it's ready. It's time to spread it on your hoja, your corn husk. But as Jesus de la Torre explains, there's a secret to the spreading.
They're spreading not in all directions. They're spreading in one direction, straight to the heart. So you turn the hoja. So like, it's easy for me to say because I'm not there. I can criticar si quiero. And so I am criticando. They're not, well, not them. So you turn the hoja, right? You turn the hoja,
yep.
And you always stroke towards the heart.
Yep.
That's because it's really a heartfelt tradition.
And what happens when you run out of filling for your tamal?
My mom told me a story one time about how when they ran out of stuff, and she was telling me about grandmother, about abuelita, when they ran out of the filling, because sometimes you have more masa than filling, they ran out of the filling, grandmother would just say, well, we're just going to make these tamales with nothing in it. Tamales de nalgada.
This virtual tamalada was hosted by San Antonio's World Heritage Office to commemorate Día de los Muertos. The event highlighted the Tamal Institute and the cultural connections tamales have to our culture. The pandemic has put a halt to our traditional tamaladas, the gathering of friends and family in our homes to make a steaming pot of dozens of tamales. Today, we're talking with Colleen Swain, director of the World Heritage Office in San Antonio, and Cristina Bailly, director of the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, which created the Tamal Institute. Bailly says virtual events, like the one presented by the Tamal Institute, can fill the void many Latino families are feeling this holiday season.
We know that families in Latin America and Latinos here in the U.S. have very, very strong family traditions, and you know, even in the pandemic, that's been one of the hard things for us, you know, to not see our families. I think that's been the hardest thing for us. And then we know, you know, that, well, making tamales is just such a key part of the holidays. I imagine, you know, people will still be continuing with that tradition, you know, in their homes, likely with precautions. We'll see. I mean, it's just such a physical activity where people come together in the same room, touching all the same things, you know, utensils. But it's definitely a good activity for families that live in the same household. If there's lack of other activities that can be done, you know, this is definitely a good time to learn. And the great thing is that now with all the online programming, all the online instruction that is going on, like thanks to the Tamal Institute that the World Heritage Office here in San Antonio is putting together, people will be able to access this instruction from home.
Well, and I thought a great example was the video on Facebook that was produced by the Tamal Institute, where you had the two women in the kitchen and they had their brother long distance. And you know, he was criticizing him and he was offering his own stories. And I think that's a beautiful example of how you can bring a family together long distance. And so I want to ask you a little bit, Cristina. We were referring earlier to the importance of certain days and how tamales are important to those celebrations. Can you explain why tamales are such an important part of Thanksgiving or Christmas or the Day of the Dead? Because, I mean, depending on where you go in San Antonio or anywhere where there's a supermercado, you're probably going to find tamales year-round. Why are these days so special?
That's a good question. And honestly, Norma, I wish I could answer it deeply, fully, and intelligently. I'm actually not a tamal expert. I'm not an anthropologist. I'm an arts administrator, a Mexican-American arts administrator who lived with this tradition of tamales personally, that I lived it growing up, and I still live it. So I know it's an important tradition for Mexican-Americans and Latinos. So that's why I schedule this programming and bring in the experts, you know, I probably more in-depth knowledge to answer questions like this. But I will say something, you know, what I can talk about is my experience as a South Texan. You know, I grew up down in the border in the Rio Grande Valley, and how we experienced the traditions of tamales there, it was primarily around Christmas. You know, we would go to my grandmother's farm where we would all celebrate Christmas on El 24, you know, the 24th of Christmas Eve. And because she lived in a farm, they were growing a pig and they would kill it and, you know, prepare it. And so we would see the whole process from beginning to end. And everybody would just sit around the table, mostly the women, spreading the masa and, you know, preparing the tamales. My experience of tamales is that, you know, it wasn't like a romanticized cultural experience. What I remember about making tamales is just a very regular, mundane activity that it was. You know, we didn't see it as anything special. If anything, sometimes, you know, especially the kids see it as extra work.
Yes.
You know? And it's work. And it's just part of regular life. Of course, when we were doing the tamales, we didn't call them tamaladas. We didn't know that's what we were doing. We were just making the tamales for that night. And we know, too, that people in different regions experience the tradition of tamal making in different ways. You know, we are more on the norteño side, the northern Mexican tradition, where our tamales tend to be thinner and have more chile on them, you know, more chile colorado, both in the masa and in the meat. And that is like the northern Mexican, South Texan way of preparing tamales. Even, you know, in my tradition, we didn't make them for Dia de Muertos. In fact, down on the border, Dia de Muertos, you know, the way it's celebrated in a big way with a big altares and that type of thing, that's not a northern Mexican tradition. You know, it's more of a central and south Mexican tradition. So we did not make tamales for Dia de Muertos, but once the holiday season starts, that seems to be pretty much that's all we eat the entire month of December, and then El Dia de los Reyes and El Dia de la Candelaria once again.
Colleen, have you ever been part of a tamalada?
Well, my grandmother was from Benavides, Texas, the Canales family. And so I remember as a child going to my aunt's house and, you know, making tamales. So my cousin owned a molino here in San Antonio. So we would get tamales from his molino. And I did take a class one time to learn how to make them. And I made a small batch and brought them to my grandmother. And she's like, you could go to the molino and get them. She goes, for convenience. But it's a lot of work. I have friends that do it. And it's a lot of fun, too. So I think that's the getting together, the talking, the conversation. To me, that's what I, you know, associate with a tamalada, is that, you know, you're getting together and you're having fun, and the bonus is you get to eat some great food afterwards. You know, who doesn't have a dozen frozen tamales in the freezer? So when someone comes over, you know, that's an easy thing to fix, and everyone loves it. And then, like Christina says, everyone has a different way of making them, and those ways are evolving. You can get vegetarian, you can get all kinds of fillings that we've never heard of before now in your tamales.
Well, as was said in the Facebook video, if you can put it in a tortilla, you can put it in a tamal.
That's correct. Right. You know, we like to say we're true to our roots, but we're open to innovation.
Colleen Swain is director of the World Heritage Office in San Antonio. We also spoke today with Cristina Bailly, director of the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, which created the Tamal Institute. See the Tamal Institute's virtual Dia de los Muertos Tamalada at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show online at tpr.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.